right. Thanks for joining me for another episode. Joining us for another episode, everybody. We have Damian James from the Chaos Vibration. Check out his channel, The Chaos Vibration, on YouTube. What's going on, brother?
Not much. How are you doing, man? Thank you.
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing pretty good, despite these terrible fires that are happening in my state right now in California. Hopefully, the wind spirits and water spirits will drown away the djinn that want to burn the state to the ground.
So you're saying this is the Gallery of Magic's fault because everything they do is djinn, right?
Totally, man. It's all their fault. I'm blaming every single one of those magicians. I'm just kidding. I like your books, guys.
I'm kidding, too. Yeah. I'm hoping fun at the Gallery of Magic.
Please be nice to us. We're only joking. So we're going to dive into chaos magic and something that I want to learn more about, which is why I'm interested in talking to you about this subject, and that is modern mythos magic. So it's pretty cool that in pretty much every magic tradition, pretty much, there's always a little bit of spirit work. And I know this podcast has been on a pretty steady trajectory of spirits and spirit work and spirit topics lately. It had the previous episode with Steve LaMoth being about spirit possession. And then I did Lords of Chaos panel that had, a few of us on there talking about different types of spirits. And now Damon and I are going to talk about modern mythos magic. So what exactly is modern mythos? Like, if you had to explain this to like a noob, I guess I'm kind of a noob when it comes to this.
I'm going to ask that everyone has an open mind here, because I'm just going to use an example that might piss some people off. Some chaos magician may roll their eyes. But modern mythos magic, in synopsis, is working with what people call pop culture, like Batman, Luke Skywalker, Superman, what have you, in place of traditional spirits. It's something I kind of came to in my own spiritual journey and worked with using chaos magic. So a functional example would be, let's say you're a lawyer and a case hits a standstill. There's a bent attorney on the other end, or there's an evidence problem, or there's evidence that's not there. You could, in theory, summon Batman to get the job done and see if that brought about profound change to your case, change the results, anything along those lines. It could also be used as internal work. So I guess you could use Batman to work through childhood trauma based on the premise he's had to go through that, as the New Age may say, quote unquote, integrating the shadow instead of just throwing the term around aimlessly. Or even, hold on, I lost the last one. You could use them for legal matters or results. You could use them for internal work. The other way you could do this is something of a medium or middleman for a traditional spirit. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the show Lucifer is a big show right now. You could, in theory, try and work with that aspect of the character. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Based on the premise for me, who's more into or views magic as a series of metaphor and information the unconscious uses, mm-hmm. it would be more like, well, if you just watch that show redemption is the theme. You could mm-hmm. do it that way. You could also potentially make your life a little bit easier. Because if you go through those things, it's very, what the fuck is Lucifer at the end of the day? It's so mm-hmm. divided and so reactive. I'm not saying anyone should or shouldn't. Or things along those lines. And even if it helps you kind of get into the mood of magic. I was rereading the 2009 version of Prime Chaos earlier this month by Phil Hine, and I think he brought up a great point. Original chaos magic, it was so about belief, and he was pretty much said in so many words in the foreword, it's really more about emotional engagement. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it's while I do a little bit of chaos magic, New Age, the techniques, not a dogma guy, a little bit of ceremonial magic. People mm-hmm. can say what they want. I feel really stupid getting out the Athame and doing the Donald Michael Craig stuff. But someone who is maybe into Batman or into The Legend of Zelda yeah. may want to get like some paraphernalia, some props, and mm-hmm. put on a ritual that way, and I find it's much easier to get into.
Okay.
If it works for you, so.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it kind of has me thinking about a couple of things. So would you say that modern mythos magic or pop culture magic, I actually like modern mythos magic. Would you say that it is essentially tapping into the Jungian collective unconscious a little bit, something like that?
That is one way to look at it. And I just want to say, disclaimer, number one, this is not my invention. It just so happens you had Andre Vitimus on your program the other day, and I mm-hmm. want to thank you for that moment. Huge inspiration mm-hmm. for me. Thank you, Andre, if you ever listen. But even in his book, Hands-On Chaos Magic, mm-hmm. there's some things in there about using the wand technique from Harry Potter or something, and when he has the spiral sword banishing ritual. And I remember reading that and thinking, well, if you break this down to the fundamental level, this is kind of like the spin attack from The Legend of Zelda, right? He just swings at the sword and spins around in a circle. So there's your examples. Taylor Elwood put out a couple books on it, which are really, really, really good. And even while he doesn't identify as a chaos magician, I would say that anyone who considers himself a chaos magician would be doing themselves a disservice by not looking into Taylor Elwood's work as well, too. Or any magician, because he has a very interesting, authentic way of looking at magic and is really into the meta systems of magic.
Okay. All right. So like another thing that came to my mind too, like listening to you talk about this and describe modern mythos magic mm-hmm. is it seems like it could be a good approach to magic or chaos magic, if you will, for people who are a little bit more on the atheistic or non-theistic side that want to work with spirits.
I think that's a good way to look at it, because you mentioned Jungian archetypes. Mm-hmm. I did a video on it, and that could be one way to look at it. They're all archetypes. You could argue archetypes are very similar to Platonic forms and the New Age vibration. They all have certain similarities. Mm-hmm. The other way you could look at it is that they could be actual spirits or evolutions of spirits. For example, you could make a case, I'm not saying it's true or not, something like James Bond is essentially a modern Theseus or a Perseus, right? Mm-hmm. He gets his magical tools or whatever, but he always gets separated from them, and he has to wind up outwitting his enemy. Like, Perseus gets the mirror shield knocked away, and he eventually has to use it to see where Medusa's coming from behind him. If you ever saw, what was that movie, Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
So that's a way to look at it. The other stances you could take, and I don't subscribe to one, is I'm not an expert, so people bear with me, but some people said John Dee thought that angels were just information. Mm-hmm. Well, if you put on Netflix or whatever, Tyler Durden's obviously not getting all buff behind your screen, is he? He exists as an information bite somewhere out there, just as this interview does. So you can look at it that way. And the final way is, let's be honest, and I'm not saying I know, a lot of occultists and chaos magicians talk about egregore design, servitors, right? Mm-hmm. Conan Doyle, a name that needs no introduction. Is it too much to wonder if maybe Sherlock Holmes has survived so well, or a creation by Ian Fleming, another assumed occultist, that these things are servitors with their own will, spirits with their own will? J.R.R. Tolkien, as we said in the warm-up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think it's too much to ask. And you bring up an interesting philosophical question you get there, which is really, what's the difference between mythology and spirituality anyway? Because most of these things started as probably what they would call quote-unquote fiction mm-hmm. at some point in mm-hmm. time. And really, if you want to use Christianity, I'm not knocking it. I would say the only thing that separates that a religion from a mythology is a universal confirmation bias.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that, you know, like you were saying, these ancient or cultural mythos, they began most likely as fiction, or like just inspired. Some of them may have been inspired off fact, but let's just use the example of everyone's favorite old book, the Bible. You know, like the story of Samson, you know, and how popular that's been for the last over 1,000 years, You know what I mean? Just over and over and over, just Samson, and you have like Hercules, all these like strong men kind of stories, you know? So now, like, if a person wants to sort of embody some sort of masculinity and, you know, be really buffed and whatnot, they could like invoke something like that, I guess. They can invoke like a Herculean kind of archetype for themselves and do something. So is that what you're saying? They could kind of do something like that?
Absolutely. A lot of this ties into, I'm not claiming to be an expert, a lot of it ties into having at least a grasp on, I think, how chaos magic works or thinks about magic more as a philosophy or an approach. Mm-hmm. So start there. If people are interested, time pending, I did have a couple rough examples to share if people are interested, why that could be useful, especially in today's age. Who wouldn't want a white mage potentially in their corner with everything going on? Mm-hmm. But anyway, my other piece of advice there is treat these things like spirits. And I'm not saying that because I'm special. It's, I think, where a lot of people go wrong with the occult is they just start conjuring shit mm-hmm. for it. Like the Goetia joke, gotta invoke them all, right? Mm-hmm. work with something that interests you. And don't fall into this trap of, oh, they're somehow lesser or not mm-hmm. as powerful. A, I don't think it's fucking about that. Mm-hmm. B, just like if you're going to raise a goetic demon and slap it around with chains, it's probably not going to be very receptive. And C, if you feel that way, this could be a good testing ground. If you can't, I don't want to say control, but functionally develop a relationship with one of these entities, let's just say, for lack of a better word, then mm-hmm. it might be worth asking yourself, is it safe to move on to Goetia or the Archangels next? I can also think of reasons they may be more useful given modern context. For example, if you want to fix a computer, Phil Hine, the Chaos Magician, will use Spock as an example. He's probably a more direct kind of cause. Or we're heading into this potentially post-apocalyptic Cowboy Bebop kind of world. I can think of all the reasons you might want to be able to call upon those people for advice right now. They kind of know how to get by, you know. Yeah. You're into martial arts, you could theoretically try and work with Spike and see if you came up with a new style of your martial arts, or maybe you became more flexible, things like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, man. I love Cowboy Bebop.
Who doesn't?
That's where I would begin. So, like, another question I have about this is, like, so why would this be controversial, like, in the world of magic? Like, why would modern mythos magic, that approach, be controversial? Is it because of more traditionalists, or?
You know, I have a kind of blunt side, so I'm going to start by saying I really don't know why it's controversial. I guess it seems silly or childish. I can get that. Mm-hmm. Or let me put it this way. I've talked to other chaos magicians. They're like, well, isn't that just a giant cosplay? And it's like, whether it's chaos magic, ceremonial magic, would you break these things down to their fundamental level? Isn't that what ceremonial magic is? A giant freaking cosplay? And I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with it.
Right. I mean, it could function like that. Yeah, the robes and, you know, the candles and things like that.
We have such... we have confirmation biases. I don't know how else to put it. I think ceremonial magician and chaos magician, not always. Some of my greatest mentors have been inspired by ceremonial magic, but also showed me chaos magic, but they're conscious that there's this kind of like, it's like Ramones rock versus Led Zeppelin style fighting. Like, you get the idea, you know? So there's that, and really if you break all magic down to its fundamental level and you take your ego out of the equation, it all seems kind of silly from a logistical standpoint. A Christian will say, well, what does science prove about magic? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what science says about people getting nailed to crosses and coming back from the dead. You know, what's the science behind making a sigil? I don't know. What's the science behind a prayer? You know, I like to write, I like to draw, I don't consider myself an artist, but for example, you know, chaos magician, myself included, we like to take pot shots at New Agers. It's like, in SLC Punk, the fight thing, rednecks beat the shit out of punks. Punks picked on the hippies, yes, whatever.
Absolutely.
But Chaos Magician like the talks back about the New Agers. New Agers talk to dolphins telepathically or something. I don't know. But
or like, you know, bikers versus hippies or whatever, you know, like
right, right.
In certain old movies, you know.
Right. But that seems silly, but I love Chaos Magic, but Chaos Magic seems kind of silly too when you break it down, especially if you're going to do the scribble scrabble skin flute thing. And I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with it, you know.
I mean, everybody has their own opinions about it. Like, I mean, I've been on certain magic groups on Facebook, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't really recommend that to most people unless you join our group, the Lords of Chaos, because we're not discriminatory towards anybody, you know. But yeah, some of the other ones, like I think unfortunately, I think I mentioned this in one of the other episodes a long time ago. I had an experience on being in a ceremonial magic group, and the moderator completely shut on like the Gallery of Magic just for no reason. I'm like, I should have asked him, like, have you tried it? Have you tried any of those books, any of those methods? Like, why do you hate them so much? Like, what's the matter with them? You know, like.
I like the Gallery of Magic. I don't do their stuff verbatim. I'll like to mix different books, yeah, and like use a Words of Power to open, do like, if it's Money Magic, do something, do a talisman from the Wealth Magic book and then close with more Words of Power. So you bring those kind of steps, yeah, of magic into it. But just with that being said, I think part of that is almost an internal defense mechanism, which would be, it would be a real shame to find out you might be wasting your time doing overcomplicated things when you could just do something small. I know that was a resistance with me because I started with New Age and I got to write this stuff 8 million times a day, or, you know, mm-hmm. Lilith is going to tear me into smithereens or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I could just theoretically cross out some letters and make a little glyph and spin around in a circle or hold a push-up position till I collapse. And oh, geez. And I resisted it. Cause it's like, you realize, I don't even say wasted your time cause it got you there, but there is that. But back to the point, even I know in Adam Blackthrone's book, and it's one, honestly, I still think one of the best Chaos Magic books out there for.
It's a great book. Yeah. Yeah. I've had success with that book personally. Yeah.
It honors the spirit of Chaos Magic very, mm-hmm. very well. Or what Chaos Magic is to me, that cut the bullshit. I'm not going to mm-hmm. give you theory because you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. And that part that wants theory will always want a better explanation kind of thing. But anyway, I know he'll say it doesn't work. And this is the bait in Chaos Magic scenes. I love mm-hmm. Gordon White. He's very anti the I'm going to invoke Superman to go to the gym kind of thing. Which I think is a great idea. Or if you're into like Taoism and energy, you really mm-hmm. like the Street Fighter games,
yeah,
try it out kind of thing. They work with energy, right? But anyway, that's a debate in Chaos Magic. And I think that's silly because Peter J. Carroll, while I don't subscribe to any of them 100%, kind of says you shouldn't putz with this stuff just to disprove it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's there. And I think it's also a step deeper. Do you really like it? Do you feel a calling to it? Because it wasn't something I just woke up and said, oh, I'm going to do this now. Long story short, in meditations, when I was going through my New Age awakening phase, I would do certain meditations and go to the astral realm and like hover out of my body and know I am my bragging. It's like the Triforce is talking to me. Why the mm-hmm. Triforce from Zelda? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm crazy. And this kept happening. And while I like to keep a lot of my details private, my initial conclusion was, this is before I heard of Chaos Magic, that was what my mind recognized as divinity, for lack of a better word, because I used to be big into philosophy, still think philosophy is great. Any magician will do well to study philosophy as well. But mm-hmm. anyway, I was very atheistic, so I guess that was the closest thing my mind had. Maybe it was the fact that my childhood was spent doing a lot of fucking drugs and playing Super Smash Brothers all the time. that could do it. But it kind of happened that way, and I got curious. And then I started making sigils with the runes from Lord of the Rings, just as another way. Mm-hmm. And maybe like a Lord of the Rings spirit would emerge from that sigil or something.
Hmm.
And it started happening accidentally, and it started getting more and more profound. And the other thing is, I'm more of a haptic guy. It's not that I hate the mystery traditions, but there's so much banter. I'd rather read like Lord of the Rings and go look through those dates and those correspondences and figure out like, what would, if I wanted to summon Aragorn, what element would be fire? Okay, we have the sword. What do we, you really, really, really get into it. So I guess it's a matter of preference.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. To me, because like my whole life, even long before getting into magic and the occult or, you know, things like that, as a visual artist, I've come to know internally with myself or to feel that anything that an artist creates, any kind of character or visual that you see within your mind, because, you know, I go by that hermetic principle that all is mind, basically, essentially. I think in some form it exists. So an example would be Batman, Bob Kane's Batman. You know, if Batman doesn't exist in this reality as we know it prior to Bob Kane, I think that type of energy, that type of, forgive me for using cheesy new age terms, but that type of energy, whatever represents Batman, that mystique, that darkness, but still kind of heroic, you know, that exists somewhere in reality. That exists, you know, maybe not the King Crusader, but like.
Oh, I totally agree. And while mm-hmm. chaos magic is very thing for yourself, do your thing, mm-hmm. just entertaining the philosophy of it, to say that that couldn't work or write that mm-hmm. off, in my eyes, is a complete, I don't want to say betrayal, but
mm-hmm.
it shows maybe potentially a lack of misunderstanding of what chaos philosophy is, which is everything out there is chaos. You know, you look at Batman, I'm more a Sherlock Holmes, James Bond kind of guy. You could argue he's kind of like Sherlock Holmes, James Bond, and a centaur had a freaking baby, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
You know, he's effective. He's a gentleman. Yeah. He's got the dead parents thing going on. He's got the gadgets and the car. And even if you look at those comic books, there's been mm-hmm. the James Bond Batman rivalry since the authors were around.
Oh, absolutely.
They've
yeah.
ripped off each other, or maybe they were collective. You went through the right. reboots around the same time, and people are like, they ripped off this. It's like, if you watch the release dates, these are the secret film guild Illuminati, which is possible. Or once again, that's the collective in motion beyond the concept of archetypes or trends. You see this in the music industry all the time.
Oh man. Music, you know? The music industry is really good about doing that for sure. Yeah. Everything's always recycled, reborn. It's just like a constant flux of just that. But like looking into like, you know, superheroes and, you know, like most people would probably agree that today's, you know, comic book universes are like the mythos of today for us. Mm-hmm. So like hundreds of years in the future, you know, like hundreds of years, we're going to look back and remember the Avengers, Justice League, just like we look at like the Olympians and the Titans, you know, essentially.
We were talking about Starbucks the other day with Andre Batimas, right?
Yeah.
Let's face it. Right. Let's pretend the lizard people or whatever the new age are telling us came and blew us up right now. And then there was a new race of humans. Okay. Or we all just reality transfer too much. And I don't know.
Right.
But whatever's out there, so we're going to put it in new humans. They look at like fine things of Starbucks, right? And there would be freaking holy wars over this place called Pike's Place. Looking for this magical potion, and they kill each other for these alchemy drinks called the strawberries and cream frappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say yes, this is our modern mythology. That's why I like to call it modern mythos. But that's kind of what we did. We're not, the way I see it at least, we don't really know what could have been the equivalent of a comic book back then. And really, while I'm not an occult expert, I've been in this for a few years. I got a lot to learn. But it's worth asking, why does that matter? And why is that a surprise? did the tarot really come from the Egyptian caravans? Well, from what I've heard, what I've studied, there's no proof of that. It was pop culture. It was a playing card game. And what any good magician will tell you, or spiritual practitioners, that's not what matters. And why would it? What, look at how much bad chaos has been caused over what is real and not real and not true over the years through religion. And for me, it's also, I think magic is about self-discovery and freedom. So why would you limit your options? One thing I love about chaos magic is we live in a world our rights are being threatened. You got to work jobs, be a certain way, smile. A, there's only so much time in the day. So if I like comic books or whatever, you can work that in. B, I'm bad with concepts and who said what, but as the quote goes, I'm paraphrasing, there's no room for authority in occultism. This should be the one place I shouldn't be have to told what to think, what to do. Yes, there's principles, standards, but we should entertain that. And also it's worth asking, and the people that are going to resonate with this probably really have a character that means a lot to them, whether it's Luke Skywalker, like maybe you were anxious as a kid or you didn't feel in control, you had a dark side, so that's why you subconsciously admire Luke Skywalker, but that probably speaks profound volumes of who you are and your opportunities in the world and your opportunities in yourself, even better yet said. So, and as I always say, myself included, as always, let us not parrot what the other magicians say. Let us be present with it. Let us walk with it. We all love it when Alan Moore says something to the extent of all art is magic. Well, is this not art? You know, Grant Morrison's a comic book creator too. And yeah, it's, and we also say that a lot of artists are unconscious magician or unconscious occultists, and they may not even believe in any of this, you know?
This is totally true. I can definitely vouch for that in my own life with things that I have a graphic novel and that I've been working on for years, and
Nice.
haven't really worked on it that much lately though. But a couple of the things within the story I've written had came true. Like literally came true.
Oh,
It's freaky, you know, just, and that was before I knew about super sigils.
I've had that. I had that experience too. In no way am I bragging. I'm just being vulnerable. And if people want a scapegoat, make me your scapegoat. I was going through a really, really rough time in my late 20s, right before I found spirituality. And I loved spy stories, like I said, so I tried to write one, and I didn't know what any of the shit was. But anyway, it was about like a guy who could hold images in his mind of what his team would do, and people were getting gems in their heads and getting hijacked, and there were these hypnotherapy programs of this false religion and then this BOW thing, and a tyrannical president that Donald Trump happened. Here's COVID. Here's I when I've gone back over it, I would say that the false religion is for me the New Age movement gone too far. And also, even there's certain names I used, and those guys appeared as mentors and things. And part of me wants to go play with it some more. The other part of me is honestly like, maybe we shouldn't, you know. But before we, in case we make a bigger mess, you know. But all those things did start happening. So, and that is conscious creation. The idea of the unconscious. I don't want to say doesn't know the difference because people take that too far, but we're engaging with that information. We're living that experience. You could read the right book at night and watch similar synchronicities manifest in your reality. So.
Essentially. This is definitely, it was kind of, it was starting to kind of remind me of some of the things in a New Age community that talk about, you know, when you consciously create things, or no, excuse me, unconsciously create things and build momentum. And you know, like I've been hearing about COVID and how people are like collectively in society have been, this is another topic I know altogether, but unconsciously or consciously creating together and casting a gigantic spell that way. You know, I've been hearing things like that from people. It's pretty fucking crazy, actually. It's just.
I think the New Age is like coming from someone who started there, it's turned into the evangelicals of social media.
The evangelicals of social media. I like that. I mean, it has kind of gotten into like an area of religion when you think about it, though, because although it was previously all about being open-mindedness and then taking what was old and, you know, putting it for the new age, I guess, for the age of Aquarius, like leaving the Piscean age and going towards the age of Aquarius, which maybe we're in right now because it's more about reason and the mind and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm no expert on timelines. I've read a bunch of books about stuff and I still don't know. Really.
You know? Well, I'd say New Agers have, I don't really identify with astrology, but I'm an Aquarius. I don't like anything that says you have to be a certain way because of signs, but New Age has this very pigeonholed ideas of Aquarius. Ooh, the water bearer, light and love. And it's like, well, Aquarius is also the air. There's things like the Leak Project who said this is going to be the age of Lucifer for some reason or another. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. They are rebels. Aquarius can be very chaotic, eccentric people. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, other Aquarians I know, they're the people that if life sends them into a situation, they find they're just always there shaking things up. So
I have three Aquarian houses in my chart. The moon, yeah, the moon, the Mercury, and the Mars are all Aquarius. Yeah.
I'm a group of Aquarians, and I'm not saying we're better, but I have a few where we hate the zodiac that people go, that's why you're so Aquarius. And we're like, oh my God. You know, like the punk rockers who say, you guys are really just posers. They're like, that's why you're such a good punk rocker. And it's like, you're missing the point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like, I was explaining to a good friend of mine today, we're talking about chaos magic and he's kind of new to some magical concepts and he's been diving into a lot of like high magic, ceremonial magic and whatnot, you know, theurgy, things like that, goetic work. And he was curious about what chaos magic was. So I brought up, you know, Andrea Vidimus's Hands on Chaos. I brought up Libra Knoll, Psychonaut. Everybody brings that one up. And I brought up the Masterworks Chaos Magic, you know, the one we're just referring to from a Gallery of Magic. So there you are, listeners. Three fantastic books that I just referenced.
But they're all great. They're all great books. And you bring up some great points. For example, and if this is you, there are times for it. Like, while I'm not big into love magic, I'm going to break out the Gallery of Magic because I don't want to sit here and do a complex working. I'd rather do something like this. So it's like, yeah, Gallery of Magic thought forms or whatever you are, get me stuff. But if you're going to say this doesn't work, right? Or this isn't real, and just look at the Gallery of Magic text, and how do you know they're not just making shit up?
I mean,
you really don't, by all intents and purposes. And yes, you can look, but even a lot of those spirits, like we were joking about the djinn controversy, I've done some research on that. Maybe I haven't found the right source. It's like there's not a lot on either side that's not a Reddit forum, a mention of a genie in an ancient tradition that just begs a lot of questions. Like that's like saying Lilith is evil. You get to the aspect of what is the what is a genie, what is a djinn kind of thing, which is a different topic altogether. So by that standard, you don't know. And it's kind of the same trap, I would say, in so many ways. Andre Vitimus talks about it. Libra Knoll, I know this is going to sound controversial. I love Libra Knoll, but by the time
it was say it's ones, okay.
It's one of the last ones I read. Not crazy about the book. I love this passage on the fifth Aeon, and that seems creepily true. I will say that you could draw a connection kind of off the beaten path between the way the Aquarian looks at the world and say chaos magic is very quote unquote Aquarius by nature, that fuck marching to my own beat. I'm going to write my own music entirely kind of thing.
It's kind of punk rock in a sense, you know,
I used to love punk. So that's another thing. Movement. I love this chaos magic. Well, I realize I just love like the philosophies more than the spiritualities, which is a topic if you'd like for another day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, chaos magic's more or less a philosophy. while I'm not deep into it, what I've taken from Luciferianism is more of a philosophy that's been a recent development. So all I want to say there is, if my YouTube audience, thank you for checking this out, guys, for checking this out. I will be talking about that and how that correlates to chaos magic to me. I'm not looking to keep that behind closed doors, but there's that. And I love philosophy. I say punk rock is a philosophy. I argue Zen Buddhism is a philosophy.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, pretty much like all, like I look at chaos magic as an approach to magic, not necessarily a school of magic. It's not like there's a set of solidified techniques, although, you know, the most common ones, as we know, with, you know, sigils and servitors, you know, two very common like things that are in chaos magic. But as far as it being like a school, there are no grades. It's not like excuse me, it's not like, you know, Hermeticism or Golden Dawn or Thelema, where you actually have grades, you know, like, you know, probationer, adeptus minor, adeptus major, things like that. It's like working your way up the tree of life. It's nothing like that in chaos magic. It's pretty much like you want results, you do something, bam. You know, that's
my critique with all chaos magic, is they will tease at that stuff and they won't really tell you how to get there. My teacher taught me, and he was a great man. Anyone who enjoys this, I just want everyone to know this conversation would not be happening without that person. But he taught me that chaos magic was not meant for the beginner. I see his point. I don't necessarily agree for a couple different reasons. A, what I find is there's this synchronicity. People who get to chaos magic realize they're kind of already unconsciously doing chaos magic. And that seems to be a thing. They're unconscious magician. I know, can't remember his name, he did Chaos Tarot, brought that up on a podcast, a different spectrum of magician. I'm not saying they're any better or worse, and I would argue that the new age is unconscious chaos magic.
Because of like manifesting and things like that, focusing on vision boards, which is like a sigil but not a sigil.
I'd say a vision board is kind of a chaos magic approach, or a low magic approach to sympathetic magic in a certain sense. What I do like from the new age is like, build your model car, you'll hear these stories, and they put it in the closet and manifest. It's like, yeah, that's kind of sympathetic magic. Put a sigil on the base or put it on the car. See what happens. You're bringing that thing into physical reality. You know, I would argue in a sense that's consecration, and I don't like the words, because people, as Hunter said in the other podcast, we have such attachments to these words, you know. But I would,
very true,
I would argue they would, or I'm coming from that and learning your guys' stuff more. So I saw this thing like, clear out your chakras with the flaming sword of Archangel Michael meditation, and I was like, what the fuck. Like, I would say that's chaos magic. Like, Archangel Michael, flaming sword, chakras, and to manifest your twin flame. How does any of this make any sense? That's actually,
I mean, chaos. There, as much, you know, as there's so many variants of magical techniques out there, be it visualizations, be it theurgies and certain words, art, of course. And all the traditions have something like that. They just call it by different names. And there's also different, like a different purpose to it. But I want to kind of go back and ask you this question for a moment. For the listeners that don't know what sympathetic magic is, can you explain what that is?
Like I said, I'm not the academic guy.
It's all good, man.
But sympathetic magic basically, and I'm still fuzzy, I think it's more of an approach or a principle of magic, is the idea that like produces like. What we do to one thing basically produces the butterfly effect for people that want a mundane or one of these quantum explanations. What we do to one thing through one way or another creates an effect. I'm not going to embarrass myself and bring up quantum claptrap that I believe most people don't really know anyway. They just pull numbers out and say science proves it. But anyway, an example I guess would be, I heard one where at the older days, if you wanted to steal something, if you wanted blessing, you'd have to find a hanged thief at the crossroads and cut the hand and burn the hand, which to me makes no sense because the thief still got caught. But the idea is you're taking on the energy of that thief. or something along those lines, or voodoo in movies is sympathetic magic, Indiana Jones, things like that. So when they, if you get the voodoo doll, you stab it, or they're stabbing it, Indy starts like convulsing in the movie.
Okay.
That's basically sympathetic magic. What we do to one thing produces another thing, not, I think, happy thoughts and rub my tummy singing Deepak Chopra sing-along, therefore I'm going to be a millionaire next week.
Gotcha.
Actually, you could argue sympathetic magic works there. You're doing dumb, empty-headed shit, so you're going to get dumb, empty-headed results.
Okay. All right. Well, so it's pretty much just like, in my mind, it kind of reminds me of like some of the hermetic principles, like the principle of, you know, the law of attraction is a hermetic principle. Not a lot of people know that, especially New Agers. They don't know where it comes from. But it sounds like the law of attraction and the principle of rhythm. Mainly, you know, like attracts like, but also like when you put something into motion, be it thoughts or, you know, physical action, or in the East, they call it karma. Like that's really what karma is. Karma is not just like this, you know, you're a jerk to somebody in public and then some time later on, someone's a jerk to you back. You know, it's like,
I don't want to pigeonhole what it is or it isn't, but you brought up a great point. For example, I was doing some content today. I want to see how the shoot came out, but now the New Age is all, oh, it's about the law of assumption. And I had a minor blow up on camera. Maybe you've seen them. Maybe enjoy my rants on my videos, but I was like, this is basically fucking nonsense. They're saying, you get what you expect. I'm like, they're just selling you the law of attraction again. And then it was the law of vibration. I'm like, just read the Kabbalion. Like
read the Kabbalion.
I'm not even going to give people the principles. Just read it. You'll explain it. There is no singular law. But there is that. You could say the law of attraction is a correspondence in magic too. Like you want to do a money working. What I would personally do, like a New Age style sympathetic thing, is write out a petition, right, of what you want, a little script. Put Citrine in the middle. Take a hammer, smash it, fold it towards you, okay? Then burn it or throw it to the ocean. And the idea is you're taking this thing, it's been anointed with the energy of Citrine because it's been released with the energy of abundance. It can return to you. You can do this on a dollar bill. New Agers, try not to cry if you break your Citrine. It'll be okay. But I would say that's sympathetic magic, and I'm kind of joking around. but that's the idea of correspondence there. I would say I include law of attraction as a chaos magic principle in a different sense. Something more like, if you work with like modern mythos magic because you like it, it will probably have a more profound effect on a long enough term, on a long timeline and a short timeline. The long one being like a video game. If you're playing a class you hate in an RPG game, you are not going to play the game very long. You're not going to get over the humps. And the other one being, I think a good way to look at it is, if you want to use metaphor, is whatever part of your unconscious wants to resist things is kind of like playing Scuba Steve with it. Like, okay, fine. If you can be Batman and you'll cooperate with me, you can pretend you're Batman. It's okay. But just more seriously, work with what you like within chaos magic. Use that intuitive guidance. That's an aspect of the law of attraction. The law of attraction, I've also noticed, goes back to ancient Greece with the law of affinity, as it was called there, like tending towards like. With the ancient philosopher and mystic Empedocles, there's very, very little I've been able to find on Empedocles. And the post-Socratic philosophers were more logic-orientated, so they were kind of down on them. But I'd say what I've noticed in my research is that where there's a law of attraction, there is an idea of this, let's just say, chaos mysticism to follow. The Greeks would chant Egyptian things and then work with Hercules and some books I've read and slam a magnet to a sword and it made zero to negative sense. And things happened. We had the New Thought. I don't want to get into the time frames. We had the New Thought, right? Napoleon Hill, William Walker Ray Atkinson, who wrote Thought Vibration and the Law of Attraction. Interesting thing is, I thought the Law of Attraction was a synopsis of this ancient, the seven hermetic principles, and it actually seems like he wrote Law of Attraction first. and the Cabalion to better explain them, which I found interesting. The point being, around that same time, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to get Ao Spare along the same time, who is kind of the godfather of modern Chaos Magic.
Okay.
I actually see them as masculine, feminine energies, almost.
Interesting.
Or channel that energy, now it's called alignment, and then direct it at a magical target. Don't just sit there and vibe out all day.
Now, since we're on the subject of like timelines a little bit, do you see Chaos Magic as being sort of like what the Watchmen was to superheroes, like the supposed end to the occult? Like what could, in this particular age, it could just like kind of, it's going to kill the occultism for a little bit because everything's so open now. And, you know,
I'm really glad you like that question because I had some thoughts on it. It's been a very long day for me too. So I'm a little loopy. I apologize, but.
No worries.
I don't see it killing the occult as much as changing the way we looked at it. That's like saying the Sex Pistols thought they were going to destroy rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And really, they changed the way they looked at it. Mm-hmm. If anything, they kind of reboot it, or more so the Ramones just reboot rock and roll. It's kind of a reboot thing. A little off topic, but a little tip people want to try out Modern Mythos Magic. Neo is a great entity for modern Mythos Magic or Chaos Magic for obvious reasons. You can change the actual operating codes of magic. I think there's that show WandaVision that is all about Chaos Magic too, Doctor Strange. But anyway, I don't think so. I think it's going to change the way we looked at magic. And while I am biased, I think one of the reasons Chaos Magic, quote unquote, died earlier on is, not saying it's better or worse, it may have been a little ahead of its time. It's very much for a melting pot society where there's so much out there. Just take with what works for now. Also, with YouTube, with the internet, with these HD TVs that seem to influence us more than the old TVs we grew up with did. I don't know if you noticed that. I'll fall asleep to shows and they will just start happening, kind of thing once again. It seems like Chaos Magic would just do better in today's modern world too.
Yeah.
With occultism, I think it's going to be more the undoing of order or the big occult orders. I'm not saying there's anything inherently right or wrong with that. I think there's a lot of social, political kind of tonations, or for lack of a better word, there's a real social, political theme behind Chaos Magic and Low Magic, which is, and I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with this, if at 50 years, I guess that's with ceremonial grimoires all day, but it's going to reach out to people working, not sure where that next check's coming from, and they may not even be able to buy the bay leaves anymore. They may have to rely on the sigil. It's for people who, well, why should you rush a ritual if you're a single mother, which to me is the most spiritual badass thing to do in this world right now? Why do you have to stress yourself about a full moon? What do we have, recognized holidays? Why can't you do this on your day off, kind of thing? You may only have half an hour to do magic and you may need to get something done. And that could be to put a plate of food on the table for your daughter, which is spiritual. So I think that Chaos Magic will be a force and change the way we look at occultism, not just in operative senses, but also in values, and really raise questions of what we value, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That answers my question really well. Thank you. Yeah, because like I've seen one video on YouTube. I can't recall the content creator now. He had a pretty cool name. I think he was I believe he was a Freemason at some point. You know how there's a lot of ceremonial magicians that were in other fraternities and whatnot, and he did a video titled, I apologize to my audience that I can't reference this because it was like a long time ago when I saw it, but I think the video was titled, you know, the end of the occult, or he didn't say that it was the end, but it raised the question of, well, with so much free information on the internet now, you can just like, it wasn't like the 80s from what I hear, some of the the OG magicians that were like saying how hard it was to find certain different, you know, bits of information back then. You had to go to a library or a bookstore and hope that you could find anything that was, you know, that was not just like Crowley and John Dee and like just a few other ones, you know, other classic grimoires, Picatrix, Goetia, things like that. It was hard to find other books. It was really just Llewellyn and then like, you know, Penguin Publishing or whatever, you know, whoever published grimoires back then. But now you have the internet, this wonderful tool that connects us, which is connecting you and I right now, being East and West Coast. And you can get all kinds of information, a lot of it for free now, you know? So it's like, what is it actually doing to the whole magic scene? You know, we have this technology and now we have, which I can do another episode in the future on techno magic, being another substrate of chaos magic, basically, you know, I'll do that one in a very, very near future. Anyway, my point was, it's just kind of making me wonder. That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, do you see this as like the end of the occult? But you were saying, no, just the way we look at it differently. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Pete Carroll said it best. We're going to return to the ways of the primordial shaman. They just drew shit on caves and shit happened kind of things, right? Yeah. And also at this time, just, I'd invite people to ask, why can't that be enough? And we can build some great connections. I'm big at the left-hand path. And to me, that is not becoming a living god. That is, if I have a friend who hates chaos magic and they want to do a talk on it, you know, I'm going to support them because they're serving their truth kind of thing. And I think that why can't that be enough for each and every human being right now with all the other shit going on in the world? Dropping astral stress, which was a big thing in some Phil Hine interviews, as I call, or as I say, that he spoke about, which was his life got better when he stopped caring about, you know, past lives and all that crap. And for me, that was a big profound thing because I was dealing with new age stress of, if I'm having a bad day, I don't need to worry about my vibration. I don't need to worry about what I am or am not drawing to me or what my subconscious is or isn't doing. And right. In a way, that gets in the way of spirituality anyway, which is all saying, just be present to the moment. None of that really matters. That's all kind of a hypothetical illusion to a degree. You also, off topic, I just want to say, you mentioned Crowley, and some people argue he was a chaos magician. I don't really know Crowley very well yet, so I can't say I have an opinion, but I guess I could see it, because I would say chaos magic isn't really a system, like you said, it's an approach. It's almost something someone will use to step into their own as a magician. It is the way of the rebel, like the punk, like punk rock, it has that kind. But how I look at it is these genres of occultism, call it, are like genres of music. At the end of the day, there's really rock music. How many freaking genres do we have? And where does one start? Oh man,
there's so many.
You know?
Yeah.
I view all of it as an approach to magic.
Right.
That's my view on it.
Yeah, and like about, you know, bringing Crowley back up, you know, he definitely had many aspects of himself, his personality or personalities that could be considered chaos magic. Number one, for me, what comes to my mind is, because I'm getting into magic was through Thelema, you know, ceremonial magic and very heavily Thelemic influence. You know, so when he created Thelema, what he did essentially was he took certain aspects that were very powerful and inspirational from the Kabbalah, the Golden Dawn, and some Eastern practices from yoga, and just kind of, it wasn't like this eclectic mishmash of things that might or might not work. It was more of that information was still new to the West back then, a lot of it, you know. I mean, not the Western mystery traditions, but the stuff from the East was very, you know, new. People didn't really know yoga in like 1910 in the West. Not really, you know. But you know, Crowley's personality, like the way he acted, the way he did the whole like Therian Beast 666 trying to piss off people in the, you know, that were giving him bad publicity in England, and all, you know, his attitude was very punk rock, basically. And he created actual rituals, like in Thelema, like he created them from the ground up. You know, the Star Ruby, which is a type of banishing ritual, something that he created. You know, I mean, he put pieces of it together and was like, hey, if you want to clear your, you know, every single thing from your astrological influences to like your arc field, try this. Well, yeah.
I don't want to pigeonhole what chaos magic is or isn't, or what Thelema is or isn't, but I think those are great points about what it means to be a chaos magician. First off, I'm sure what we're reading is what survived, and that debunks the myth chaos magic is about doing whatever the hell you want. You could, but like a video game, if you're playing an RPG, you're going to keep the items that actually get you farther in the game. There does seem to be a thing, and I haven't acted without trying, chaos magician are really good at pissing people off. Phil Hine mentions it a couple times in his books, but seriously, that's one reason I love them, is you feel like these are human beings writing.
Yes.
And they're challenging things. So there's that, and there's bringing new things to the table too. And the other thing, the more important, was you said he played different aspects of himself, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of quite to his amusement, and I could be wrong, but I understand that's basically what a psychonaut is. He explores his mind, plays with different personas. Like, if anyone's watching this, I'm playing a slightly different persona, not on purpose, or to be cool, but I'm playing a slightly different persona in dialogue here than what we may see on my YouTube channel. I also write, and that's a more intellectual, serious side of me at times. And I think, like any good artist, like, you know, or a musician, that's a lot of fun for them. And that's part of that creative, spiritual self-discovery process.
Absolutely.
You know, we get so hung up on Salve et Coagula. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, or the true will, if there is a thing, or life coach is the ideal path. And I'm more into the, well, what's the life that allows me to work with all aspects of myself? For example, I'm very haptic. I like to move, but I also love to meditate. So I like to work, you know, smaller part-time jobs that keep me on my feet moving things. But when I like to do my magic, I like to more sit down, write, not do a lot of ecstatic movement. Personally, I feel very, very, very silly doing a lot of that.
Do you like, do you like pathworking at all? Have you done anything like that?
May I ask what you mean when you say pathworking? Because there's a lot of different associations with that term. Working with the spirit in certain sessions towards a certain goal.
Oh, I see. I was referring to pathworking like in certain magical manuals, where it's essentially like a guided meditation, you know, like to explore different energies and different aspects of, yeah.
That's kind of what I do. I would argue that's what I do if I summon a modern mythos spirit, mm-hmm. you know.
I see.
And some things I will do is, if you want to meditate or you want to do like a Zelda ritual, mm-hmm. you could, Andre Vatimas talks about the Mind Palace, right?
Yes.
You could put on the Temple of Time music and lay your items out there, if that answers your question at all.
Yeah, it does.
You
yeah.
absolutely can. They can take you through their worlds. Without bragging, I don't like the 3-hour meditations. I just like to do like very Zen style meditations where you just breathe and we're not lighting our spine up like a Christmas tree kind of thing. So I'm not as good with the 45-minute Akashic Record meditation. So what I did on Mono, not bragging, is my way of getting in there was Indiana Jones just slamming through the Akashic Record mm-hmm. floor, mm-hmm. like in Last Crusade. It's like, okay, that's how I got up there and found it. So you absolutely can. So I guess if that answers your question about pathworkings,
yeah.
I would say yes, depending on your definition. I don't obsess about them, because to me, one thing I love about chaos magic and modern mythos magic is that there's really so much magic in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's what everyone does. People miss out on it. Like, I would argue, regardless, you love the game, you hate the game, a Major League Baseball player is to a certain extent a psychic. That ball's traveling 95 miles an hour. You know, we watch commercials. Oh, the car went 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. It's like, this thing is going from 0 to like 95 in milliseconds. I don't know how they see the thing. 2020 vision clearly has nothing to do with it. they're probably seeing an energetic string or a trend. You know, there's things like that. I would argue this conversation right now is magic. Just the fact, you know, it's happening on the internet. So I'm not saying don't do those things. They can be great, and pathwork can be a great way to appreciate that or change the way you look. You may see the world more like Spike Spiegel or Aragorn or Batman, and that can be a lot of fun. But to me, that's not nearly as important. And for me, we talk about spirituality. Our spirituality says, you know, you're an immortal spiritual being having a temporary human existence. And I think people take that for granted. And there's a lot of, there's something very profound in how finite this human experience is then. You don't know if you'll come back as the lizard person or you'll come back in ancient Egypt next life, you know? It's so important to experience this life too. And yeah, you're going to learn a lot about magic. You're going to learn about a lot about spirituality. I love this stuff. I'm just not the biggest academic. And you see this with construction workers. They seem to get this stuff in their own unique way just by being out in the world. You know, they seem they just seem very grounded, you know, in so many words. They'll say, look, I don't care if you have to talk to a tree, if it makes you be a good person, a peaceful person kind of thing. They may see this fishing, golfers naturally get spiritual ideas and working with energetic trends. So there's other great ways to get it too. You know, I know spirituality is very down on intellectuality, but the books are all intellectual.
Right, right. I was going to say, like, I don't think a person has, like, I'm like you too. I don't claim to know a whole lot about anything. I mean, I kind of consider myself sort of a psychonaut in a sense, you know, just to like to explore aspects of myself and awareness and just kind of take it all apart to its like most minute form, which is consciousness or awareness, you know. Just kind of explore that way, and then kind of, I don't know, throughout, it just depends on what's happening in the moment throughout the day, obviously. But yeah, I mean, let's go over some examples too. Like, so going back to modern mythos, so let's just say someone really wanted to dive into this and start out on this. I'm gonna go ahead and give an example of, let's say, a budding magician, a budding chaos magician, somebody who was curious, wanted to improve their math scores at school. Like, where would they start? I know there's not like a solidified like A to Z method, but like, where would they? Because I haven't seen a lot of literature on this, if any, you know.
There's very little. Like I said, there's some Taylor Elwood books. He has a group two and some videos. I should get to those. It doesn't have to be a modern mythos character anyway. I guess it could be a family member. Like, if it were baseball, you know, you could work with Mickey Mantle. That would make sense to me. But like, maybe Dexter's Laboratory. But without being a jerk, as Andre Famous said, I could try and explain it, or I could do a quick little ritual template on the show if you would like.
Yeah, okay. Sure. That'd be amazing.
I'll give you a choice. Legend of Zelda or Cowboy Bebop?
Legend of Zelda. Okay. I mean, even though I'm a huge Cowboy Bebop fan and I'm wearing a t-shirt right now, you know, I mean, I'm a huge fan, but let's go with Zelda.
I was kind of hoping for the Zelda one anyway. I've done a little bit.
Okay, before. Okay.
But let's say we played Ocarina of Time. You go back and forth through time, right? He's got to undo shit in one timeline, and everyone's big into the timeline shifting anyway, so Link would be great for that, right? But let's say there was childhood trauma. That would be your goal, right? That would be the first thing you would need, and you really like Zelda. The first thing we'd want to do is, before, I think we'd want to get our ritual ready, right? Do you have to go out and get a cosplay costume? Absolutely not. You can do this on any budget. I would say draw from ceremonial magic, personally. What are the four elements, or what are the three pieces from the Triforce? I know that's going to sound confusing, but obviously in ceremonial magic, we work with the elements, right? Air, earth, fire, water, spirit, but in Hyrule, they work with power, wisdom, and courage, right? So let's say we worked with the Triforce because based on the premise like attracts like. We have the sword, right? You could, we have the sword, which could be air or courage in this example. You could say you could make the ocarina, you could say that's wisdom for conjuring or something like that, okay? Power could be up in the air, and as always, it's not objective, right? As long as, are you following? You could say the sword's power, maybe the shield's courage. I've actually used the elements, so I did it differently. But as long as you get the gist, you could get the trident, and these things can be keychains, okay? From there, we have our items. We would need to summon our spirit, right? So in traditional magic, you know, we do LBRP, right? We stand, we pivot, we draw the thing, and we shout words. You could do that, and it would probably work. And you could use those elements and trace in the four cardinal directions and use, I would personally find names or words or spirits from that actual spirit universe, right? Not necessarily, we're kind of almost in a sense doing something like Oasha. We're calling upon higher powers to bring another entity in. So what you could do is if you want to face north, you trace a triangle in one direction, maybe imagine a red light and call upon Din, the goddess of power. Look to the right, green for Rory for courage. Look to the left, draw another triangle, and you would have the goddess of wisdom. I want to say Naryu. I did not look at any notes. I'm just doing this off the top of my head here. So,
oh, it's all good.
I hope this holds up. But I think the any experienced magician can see where this is going. You could do that. Then I may say, by the power of Din, I summon Link, the hero of time. By the power of Ferore, I summon Link, the hero of time. So on and so forth. Your music would be like video game music. You have those items, you know, that little master sword, you can get like a foam one even if you want it, or I think they have replicas that could be your theme. You know, that would be your focus point that you channel your will, raise it up, swing it around, maybe conjure Link. That would be the important part. Personally, I would evoke him into me. How would I do that? Well, you could imagine him enter the sword and put your hands on it, or something more, just he walks in the room, puts his hands on you, and this isn't Zelda, but you see Mystique in the X-Men movie?
Yes, absolutely.
I'd imagine like the pillar of light, him replace my body, go sit down and meditate, lie down. If the sword is safe, maybe hold it across your chest or something. They do that in those games. And then throw in any meditation where you go back, heal your timeline, come back, you know, grab the sword. Imagine doing like the spin attack to banish the energy. Something like that.
Okay.
You could call upon the fairies and imagine them swing around, swirl around you and heal your energy. And what I like about this, in my reality at least, is the magic seems to work comparatively to how it behaves in their universe. So the magic is very quick because that's how it works in video games. So you could imagine a few fairies spin around you and don't expect the full Reiki healing, but you may feel a little bit better. Something along those lines. And these really at the fundamental are similar to the things Donald Michael Craig talks about, modern magic with the grounding and breathing it into a container. It's really the same. It's a very, very similar premise in my eyes, at least. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. So it sounds like it would be a combination of, well, to me, it doesn't sound like anything a beginner to magic would really do. It sounds like a person that has at least some background in the basics of some kind of magic, and then they would obviously have to know. First of all, it's like, yeah, know what they want to achieve. So they have to choose a power, you know, and then choose a spirit or an energy, and then follow some sort of correspondences of that particular character, and then they can kind of put a ritual together. Am I following that correctly, or am I missing something?
Yeah, no, you have the right idea, absolutely. Okay. I'm not bragging. I just kind of unconsciously started that way. Started with like affirmations and new age stuff, and then when I did ceremonial magic and started doing that, it really took off. If people are interested, here's what I'll say. I have a whole playlist on my YouTube where I break down the theories. There is that ritual framework once again, that you could do. I think how I got into it also was I was frustrated trying the traditional spirits and nothing would happen. So like Ganesha, he's a symbol of clearing obstacles, right? And impeccable luck, right? And my mind, a little bit of a wise ass, said, well, James Bond's kind of clears obstacles and he has impeccable luck. You know, and he has gadgets. Clears
obstacles, so all right.
There's the chaos grenade, right? There's the exploding pen in the Bond films. I've done it. Just get a pen, 1, 2, 3, 4, click, walk away. You don't always have to invoke.
James Bond, he also gets laid a lot.
You can use it that way. As Grant Morrison said, that feels kind of like a low-grade way to do magic after a while. But you can, but just to call on tenacity even could be a great way to do that. Instinct, he's very instinctual. That could be a use, or making magical gizmos, you know, that don't look like things. Like, you may want a watch that can bind a servitor. That would be a great spirit to work with for something like that, you know? There's things like that. The you shall not pass from Lord of the Rings is a great quick banish. Okay. And what I like about that is the ceremonial stuff, those big banishes. What's the caveat we all run into when our minds are going crazy and hell's breaking loose and you're away from your altar? You need something quick, right?
Right.
It can be enough. I don't want to even say you need to believe it. You need to be willing to give it a chance. And if you see profound change, give it the benefit of the doubt. Where this also comes into play, I want to say, is I know servitors is the gold standard of chaos magic, supposedly. Yeah. I have a few. I'm not crazy about servitor creation. There's too many unforeseen events. And once again, you kind of, with these spirits and their media, you can get a very good feel for what they might do. Han Solo can smuggle you stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones retrieves occult items. So you want a new tarot deck? You make a little offering to Indiana Jones. He likes whiskey. You give them the offerings they would like too, you know?
Interesting. What about like some of the like Lovecraftian like deities, like the Cthulhu and like any of those type of horrific kind of monsters?
This is probably going to be the worst thing I ever say. I don't really know enough about Cthulhu to really speak about that. I know Phil Hine has a book about it, and I guess why I experimented with this was when I heard the chaos magic speak about this stuff in a passing passage, I was like, tell me more. No, you're going to tell me to read Librinal 777 again and tell me that nothing is true. Sigh. But I don't know a lot about that universe, but from what I hear, Harry Potter is kind of like the new age version of that.
I don't know much about Harry Potter, honestly. I've never read it. I've always been more of a Tolkien snob, honestly.
Tolkien, what's weird is I was not one of the kids that was into magic and wizards growing up. Like,
okay, I'm older than you though, you know. So like for me, it was Tolkien and R.A. Salvatore, and then later on it got into like The Witcher. You know, I haven't read all the books, but I love the Witcher universe. You know, like it's pretty badass. You know, you have monsters and like a very imperfect protagonist, you know, and just a lot of twisted stories. And you have like elves, dwarves, trolls, like all the really cool vampires, all the crazy, you know, monsters that you would expect in like a dark fantasy universe. You know, I think that would be a pretty cool way to go with modern mythos magic, honestly, like in both Geralt of Rivia,
absolutely. And if occultists are into Cthulhu, I may suggest starting there, because maybe the burden of proof for the mind will be easier, because that connection's more there. Once again, I'll say, you know, Sherlock Holmes was written by an occultist. Bond was designed by an occultist, at least in theory. There's the 007 aspect there. Comic book authors, once again, suggest the comic book creators are occultists. So you could try Grant Morrison's work. You could try Alan Moore's work.
Yeah, they're open about them being occultists. I mean, and I know, like you said, you mentioned like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was a, I don't know what grade he was, but he was an initiate in a Golden Dawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was a practitioner of ceremonial magic.
And to answer your math question, Sherlock Holmes would be a great spirit to improve your math skills.
Oh, right? Okay, okay.
Something like that. And if you watch, I'm not big on Marvel, but from what I've seen, Doctor Strange and WandaVision, you'd have to assume that whoever does Marvel now, if that was Stan Lee who made them, that they had a knowledge of the occult too.
Especially with Doctor Strange. Like, right, I mean, right. there was so many references to, you know, Tibetan mysticism and what it's chakras and stuff. It's just chock full of things like that for sure.
I think the Cowboy Bebop creators were big into Taoism.
Yes, I would think so. I can see that.
DC has Lucifer Morningstar is the character, and I would argue those. I'm not saying anything good or bad about Lucifer or the people. I would argue the people who did that show probably had some kind of transaction going on with Lucifer.
I've never watched it. Yeah, transaction. Okay, really.
There's I don't want to say deal, but there's a lot of. If you're into film theory, there's a lot of there's certain subtleties in there that made me wonder. He comes from Lux. His place is called Lux. They deal more with the ideas of the Shining Rebel. While it doesn't team the biblical audience. There's things like Asriel's blades in it. There's a certain scene I'll send it to you where he's playing all along the Watchtower, and those lyrics even sound kind of occulty. And there's this lamb, and it looks like the Eclipos, the underside of the tree. Mm. And there's nothing overwhelming. It's just enough to make you say, And the way I look at it is, well, that would make sense. They get their show. He gets curiosity. I'd assume, what does he want? Attention.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit there. I can't say I know for sure.
I'm under the impression of like there's a lot of writers in Hollywood that have dabbled with this. Is like not even a secret, you know. I mean, I'm under the impression that the Wachowskis are initiates of something. I don't know. I don't want to say they are, but I'm getting the feeling that they know something. You know, they brought Gnostic, you know, mysticism to the forefront after it was in the shadow for a long time. You know.
I personally have a feeling Conan Doyle was alluding to the devil Sherlock Holmes in a lot of ways.
Okay.
He plays the violin, right? And I think it's the same Stradivarian that was it Piccolo Panini plays. I'm big into those synchronicities, or they're all very small, but they add up. He lives in Baker Street. Baker, hot, hell, loving. How many times do they strong arm the word scarlet into those friggin' works? Study in Scarlet.
Right.
I'm not gonna go through all the lists. You could argue that the man who goes to see Sherlock Holmes is like the man who goes to see Lucifer Morningstar on the show, a detective, or even just a man who would go to the crossroads. He's out of options. Things along those lines. I'm not gonna go back down a big digression, but I would not be surprised. Oh, also Sherlock Holmes is the quote unquote fallen one, right? His brother works for the British government. He's kind of the lesser brother of the two Holmes brothers, yet extremely smart, ingenious, yet people are afraid of him. He's not particularly likable. He's very, very blunt, which are all things that may or may not come with the entity of Lucifer.
Right.
So, just a
interesting, cool, man. We touched on a lot of ground with this conversation. This is really cool. So, like, essentially, a person can invoke anything they desire. I guess, like, anything from Batman to, this is going to sound cheesy, viewer listeners, Mickey Mouse.
I know a guy, at least in theory. He'll invoke Bugs Bunny when he gets stressed just to make him laugh.
Really?
You know, so it's what I would do is, you know, like I said, the Street Fighter universe.
Yeah.
If you were doing the pecs, invoke Guile and don't shout Sonic Boom at the gym like an idiot, but like nothing else.
Oh, do it.
Don't throw happens. Them. Don't throw them, please. You know, you move those muscles a little bit. It's worth a try, but do it for fun too in the beginning, you know? Yeah. I know yeah. someone that wanted to invoke WandaVision to learn chaos magic, and I will not fuck with that shit either. I looked at like 20 minutes of the show. I'm like, no, she just loses control of the entire universe. Do not do that. Think along those terms, like I said. But it can be a lot of fun. Start with your favorite video game character. I have a playlist on it. If you have show notes you want to include, people can email me questions. I offer training options on Patreon for it, because it is a deep practice. You need to figure out why you relate to the character, what you want to accomplish, or you can cast results magic too. Would Wolverine's super regeneratory system be a good thing to have in COVID Delta? Just don't expect to go take bullets to the forehead and see what happens. Like all Matt, but
do not do that, listeners. Do not do that. Seriously, do not do that.
I had a cat scratch my left eye, so I worked with Spike with a little bit, and it got better. And none of this is bragging. Shit. I'm just saying these are potentially things that can happen.
Nice. Well, very cool, man. Thanks for coming on. So tell the audience where they can find you and your Patreon and all that good stuff.
You can find me on the Chaos Vibration YouTube once again. Word is chaos, last word is vibration. I do have a playlist there called the Modern Mythos Magic mini series. It's kind of like a mini online grimoire. We cover some of the theory. I talk about sympathetic relationships and stuff in this video with examples. I use clips from different movies to make it more interactive and engaging. I may or may not have worked with certain modern mythos spirits for the ideas. I'm going to leave that to your imagination. There's a ritual. Then we walk to things like working with a modern mythos deity at the crossroads, how to do that, why that's important. And it's a nice recap of everything discussed here. In spirit of that, obviously, a lot of chaos magic stuff, practical magic, gallery of magic, things along those lines. I also have a Patreon of the same name, which is still relatively new. I'm going to say this right now. I might not commit to content for it because I don't want to make content keep it behind closed doors, but I do have training options there, sigil magic services. I do basic chaos magic coaching. I do modern mythos magic coaching for select people. I also have right now affordable email coaching for people that are just looking for quick chaos magic or LOA questions. It's like $15 and you get a very in-depth email by me who don't want coaching fees because we're in a pandemic. I think that's important to give people that opportunity. And I have a final one called Social Media Sorcery for Beginners, which is if you want to make a channel and Etsy, it's not about getting rich, but we help you build a content routine, how to work in magic. I share the magic I've used along the way to outsource the algorithm putzing with to keep your focus on conserving your energy to create better content and find yourself along the way. So those are some of the services I have.
Nice. Yeah, man. It's cool having you on, and I'm sure I'll have you on again and everything. Thank you. Know? Yeah, man. So Damian James is also a part of her Facebook group, The Lords of Chaos, which is an eclectic discussion panel. I mean, like eclectic, like we were eclectic, you know, and our, I don't know what the fuck am I saying. We're not like eclectic Wiccans or anything like that. We do our own thing, you know. We do whatever that is. That's what I mean by that. Anyway, I'm like stammering a little bit, but
we're too chaotic for chaos.
Yeah, exactly, man. We're like to the point to where I named it the Lords of Chaos because we are the lords of it. Anywho. If anybody has any questions or requests for content on this particular podcast, The Far Side of Midnight, you can email me at RoderickZ@protonmail.com. That is RoderickZ@protonmail.com. It is an email service from Switzerland because I'm fucking tired of Google, man. They're in every aspect of our lives. I'm going to be honest. I'm not trying to like crap on Google, man, but you know, I wanted to use a different email address. So I was like, protonmail.com. So anyway, RoderickZ@protonmail.com. And we'll be having more of Damian James in the future and more content. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe, be happy, be well. and don't be an asshole to people. Be nice. Peace out.